Thank you, Chris, for the wonderful selection. And I know you selected those songs by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm saying that is God works in mysterious ways. I had no communication with Chris, yet every selection he selected will go with my message today. For God so loved the world that he have given us his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. And thank you for that. Today, I will be speaking to you about God's love. Pray with me. God, our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, may your Holy Spirit be glorified, be magnified in each and every one of us, and may we be uplifted by your love and the sacrifice that you have made for all humanity by sending your one and only Son, who died on that cross, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And we all thank you, and we all say amen in Jesus' name. God works in mysterious ways. Today, I will be speaking to you about God's love. And first, I will talk to you about the privilege of God's love. Then I will be speaking to you about the hope of God's love. And I think that's the wrong selection. It should be 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where it says hope. So, as I said, I'll be speaking to you about the privilege of God's love, the hope of God's love, and finally, the incentive of God's love, or the incentive to take his love. Very important. I see you haven't found it, but anyway, the slide was supposed to say hope, and I will talk to you about the hope that we have in God's love. The message is taken from 1 John chapter 3, and only three verses, but three powerful verses. And it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." Verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like." This is referring to the hope that we have in God's love. "But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Very, very profound. Three verses, but deeply profound. There is no greater love than, or has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friend. No greater love. And this is from John 15:3. There is no greater love. You know, God has loved us so much that he sent his one and only begotten Son who died for us. And there is no greater love than for Jesus to lay down his life for us. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friend. He is our friend, and he loved us so much, he gave himself his entire life, shedding of his blood, that we may have, for those, I should say, who believe in him, that we may have eternal or everlasting life. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love one another deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. And Paul tells us, Paul speaking to the Ephesians, he tells us, and he's talking to the Ephesians, and he says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, or the love of God. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, or surpasses all understanding, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians that we all should pray to know about the depth of God's love for us. And we see that depth of his love by him demonstrating and sending his one and only Son who died for us. Now there is a hymnal written by Frederick Lehman, and the hymnal is titled The Love of God. And we sing this very often. As a matter of fact, at the Hillside Church where I am originally from, we sung that quite a lot. But as I was going over this hymnal, I was saying to myself, this love of God, do we really grasp the measure, the height, the depth, the width of this love? But this hymnal illustrates it beautifully. And here is what this hymnal said, The Love of God by Frederick Lehman. And it reads, the love of God is greater for than tongue or pen can even tell. You cannot write, you cannot tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell or the lowest depth. That's how large, that's how significant is the love of God. Tongue cannot tell this love that God has for us. And pen cannot even describe how this love is for us. And he goes on to say, this is Lehman, could we with ink the ocean fill? Think about this. If we could fill the ocean with ink, and wear the skies of parchment, or the skies of paper, parchment made, where every stalk and earth is a quill, or let's say every tree on earth is a pen. And every man in the world, a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above. Think about this. If we could fill the ocean with ink, and every tree is a quill or a pen, and every human being is a scribe, they still could not write how great a love of God is for us. It's such a profound hymnal. And I don't know if we ever sing that here. Do we, Chris? No, I don't think so. Or maybe they might have a modern version of it. The privilege of God's love. We have the nature of sons by the regeneration. We have the title and the spirit and the right of the inheritance of sons by adoption. We're told by Titus, and this is a very profound verse, and not many Christians know of this, but I remember many, many years ago, Brother Roy Taylor at the Hollis Community Christian Church, you know, he has long passed away, but this was one of his favorite verse, Titus 3:5, where it says, we're talking about we being adoption of sons through God's love, the privilege of this adoption. And Titus tells us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So here again, you know, for those Christians who don't believe in baptism, it's clearly telling us here, you know, when we're baptized in Christ, we're now a new creation, a new creature. We're regenerated. And this regeneration is done through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit when we receive God's Holy Spirit. Amazing, isn't it? I think we should all write this down. Titus 3:5. I haven't come across many Christians who knows of this one particular verse, but it's a very important verse. And John tells us in John 1:12, talking about God's love adapting us as sons. He tells us, but as many as received him, that accepted him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And this particular verse, those that says all you need to do is just believe in Christ, they love this verse. But that's not the entire story. The entire story is you need to be washed and to be regenerated. But John tells us, but as many of us who have accepted him, we become children of God. And in Romans 8:15, by the spirit of adoption, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And in many churches that I go to, and some churches not of the Church of Christ faith, they always begin praying, Father, God, Abba. We have been adopted. That's one of the privileges of God's love, that we, being adopted, we can call out to him, Abba, Father. What a privilege we have that we can call our God Father. Amazing, isn't it? And there is something that I wrote, and I'm trying to see if I can find it, but it's my own personal, from time to time I make up my own personal quotations, and right now I'm looking for it, and I really can't find it. Where did I put my personal quotation? Okay, I'm looking, but since I wrote it, I can read it. And I am saying this about God's love. Love is like a medicine. It will right all wrongs, and it will heal many maladies. And I didn't say all maladies, but it will heal many maladies. Because we know that God's healings come in time. And sometimes it doesn't come as we would want it. Or at times it doesn't come at all. But God's love is like a medicine. It will right all wrongs, and it will heal most maladies or illnesses. So, as we can see, the privilege that we have of God loving us is that he has adopted us as sons, and we can reach out to him and call him Father. We can go to him and pray, Father God, I am your son. I am your daughter. I am struggling with this, but I know where there is no way, or where there seem to be no way, you will make a way somehow. Now, what is the hope of God's love? I just spoke to you about the privilege that we are adopted. We can reach out to God and call him Father. But what is the hope of God's love? And this hope pertains to the resurrection. We know that all of us here, at some point in time, will pass away. We will leave this physical earth. But what hope do we have in Christ, in God's love? Well, in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And this is talking about the second coming of Christ. This is the hope that we have. And in 1 Thessalonians, and I think Chris mentioned the Bible study will be on Thessalonians, but I guess eventually you will come to that part in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, where it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. See, we as Christians who believe in Jesus, when we pass away, it's considered a sleep, because the hope that we have that when Christ returns, at the last sounding of the trumpet, as we're told in 1 Thessalonians, that the dead in Christ will rise first. Think about it. You know, the dead in Christ will rise first. And there's a message that I want to bring here, once pertaining to, you know, death and resurrection, which I'll talk about at some other time. But the hope that we have in God's love, that at Christ's second coming, those that sleep in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive, there will be many Christians alive when Christ returns. But the hope that we have is that we will be taken up with him. We will be transformed. As Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, the total body will change. And as I said many times, flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. God's kingdom is spiritual, and in the spiritual realm, we have everlasting life. That's what everlasting life means. The spirit doesn't die, and we will be all in a spiritual form. God is spirit, and God is love. And the hope that we have in his love, that when he returns, that we will join him, and we will see him as he is, face to face. So that is the hope that we have in Christ, our God, our Savior. Christ is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He is, you know, there are three significant beings, but all in one. All in one. And at his coming, our hope, and our hope should always be, we should always, as Jennifer says, watch and pray. Can't you watch and pray? Watch and pray and have that hope that when he comes, if I'm alive or if I'm dead, I will be with him forevermore. And I will have that eternal life that Chris talks about in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him, but not only believing in him, but also being regenerated through the baptism, through the waters, through the washing, and the receipt, and the receipt of his Holy Spirit. And now the last area that I will be talking to you about is the incentive. What is the incentive of God's love? Well, the incentive is this. If the Lord's second coming is precious to us, we will love the Lord, taking the Lord's coming as an incentive and a warning. For when he comes with either, for when he comes, he will come with either. This is the second coming. When Christ returns, he will come with either a reward, and that reward is that we will be taken up, or he will come as a judge. He will judge the living and the dead of their sins. So the incentive of God's love is that we can stand in boldness, knowing that we have been washed in the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, clothed in white robes, that we can stand boldly and not be afraid of judgment, for we know that he will welcome us home. So the incentive is this: the reward or a discipline or judgment. And we're told about judgment. We know that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. But those who are in Christ, judgment will just pass you over, as that dead angel passed over, because of the blood of Christ. And because of the blood of Christ that he has shed for us, and that we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we will not face, you should not be afraid of a judgment. You know, it says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth when he comes. You know, he will come victoriously as the righteous God and judge. All humanity will be judged at his coming. But that incentive that we have is, you know that we who are in Christ and we're confident of that, judgment will pass us over. John tells us in John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, when he comes to judge, we can boldly face him, not being afraid, for we know who he is, and we will see him as he is. Now, to conclude this message, I have spoken to you about the privilege of God's love. And that privilege is that we can call God Father, Abba. We can go to him. We are adopted as sons. And if we are adopted, we will receive the same benefit as Christ Jesus. This is what Scripture tells us. I then talk to you about the hope of God's love. And that hope is when he comes, when he returns, his second coming, that we will be, if we're alive, transformed, given a new body, and meet all those who have died up in the clouds, and so forever be with of the Lord. And last but not least, the incentive of God's love, that we will have the boldness when he comes to judge the living and the dead. We need not be afraid. May God bless you all with this message.